My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Welcome into another interview edition of the Future Sox podcast. My name is Elijah Evans, and today I'm joined by Adam Cinco, the new hitting coach at Winston-Salem, the high A affiliate of the White Sox organization. Really pumped to have another interview. We got a bunch coming up here as we lead up to spring training. Adam is just joined the organization as one of the new, you know, many coaches at the organizational levels throughout the minor leagues, but really pumped to just get a gauge of, you know, talk about his past, his career, everything that has brought him to being a coach now for the White Sox organization. Adam, thanks for taking the time, man. What's going on?
Elijah, thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
Yeah. We appreciate you taking the time. We're really excited. Obviously, you and I have some mutual friends in the baseball world, so I was able to get connected and hear about kind of, you know, all that you've been going through, but want to take the time to introduce you to the White Sox fan base and particularly our listeners who are really keyed in on the farm system, as obviously you'll be, you know, in Winston-Salem throughout the season with a lot of really fun prospects down there that we like talking about frequently throughout the season on our show. But first, I want to just talk a little about your kind of path and your trajectory. Tell me a little bit about your just baseball journey from a young age, kind of getting into baseball and what got you really hooked into this sport.
Yeah, I'm from South Florida, which, you know, as you probably know, is a really good area for baseball. And growing up, you know, it was the only sport I played. I was, you know, all year round in the good weather. So just fell in love with baseball at a really young age. You know, my dad played, my older brother, 6 years older than me, he played. So I had a good role model looking up to him, and I just fell in love with it, you know, super early. Played high school ball down in South Florida at university school with some really good talent around me. I had a lot of Division I guys on my team, even some pro guys and actually an NFL quarterback, Mike White, was on my high school team. So some good baseball down there. And, you know, going into college, went to up to Pennsylvania, went to a small D3 school called Washington and Jefferson College. And then after a year at W&J, ended up transferring to Pitt for the rest of my career, and ended up, I actually didn't play on the Pitt team. I play on the club team there, which is probably a super rare path to pro ball. But knew I was wanting to get into coaching, you know, really, and while I was in college, so wanted to set myself up for that career. Transferred to a bigger school at Pitt, and it was a great decision. Really reinvigorated my love for baseball and led me to a really successful coaching career so far. And I've spent 6 years in college baseball up to this point, mostly at the Division II level. The last 4 years I've been at Bloomsburg University in northeastern Pennsylvania. So definitely excited to get down in the South and get out of the cold weather for a little bit here. It's definitely freezing up here right now.
Yeah, that's an awesome path, man. I think it's really unique. Everybody's got their own angle. I know we talk about it all the time with players. Like, each player has their own story of, you know, of where they got to they are, and, you know, how they became the player they are throughout their life, right? So, you know, it's cool that you were able to kind of be able to see that coaching was a path you wanted to take from an early point and then dive into it head first. What was your first kind of initial step? You know, you obviously going to Pitt. From there, what was your first step getting into the coaching world?
Yeah, I actually, once I graduated from Pitt, moved back down to South Florida for 2 years. So coached at my high school for a year, and that was a really, really fun experience getting to give back to the guys that were, you know, younger than me or coming up in my high school. The head coach was that I worked for was an assistant coach when I played, so had a connection with him, and you know, really, really awesome coach, great guy, and so got that opportunity, and then from there got my first college opportunity in at Nova Southeastern University, which is a really good Division II baseball school in Fort Lauderdale. JD Martinez came out of there, Mike Fiers, a couple, Miles Michaelis. So yeah, there's some really good history there, and I ended up just getting super, super lucky, and that's how I turned into a hitting coach. Is the head coach at Nova Southeastern at the time was Greg Brown. Greg has some ties to Chicago. He was the big league hitting coach for the Cubs in 2022, and he was a special advisor for the Cubs, and so I ended up learning under him for a year at Nova, and was you know, he told me the first day that I got there, he said, "Hey, Sank, like, you're gonna get a PhD in hit development and just soak it all in." And that's what I did. And you know, after a semester there, I was like, "Dang, I this could really be a future for me." Of everything I was learning, everything I was kind of, you know, bringing together from Coach Brown and everything else from my other experiences, kind of like, you know, man, I got a good grasp of this, and I think I can take this pretty far.
Yeah, what's on that the docket for a PhD in hitting development? What are the couple? Is there anything that stands out for you of like a couple little, even if it was small things, anything where you're like, okay, that was one or two things that like really stuck with me from that experience?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the overarching thing was my reaction to everything I was learning was like, man, I wish I knew this when I was playing. Like, so like, I know a lot of coaches would say that too, but a lot of movement stuff that you just don't, how to load the body, how to get into the right hitting positions, a lot of bat path stuff that made so much sense when I was learning it. I was like, why didn't I think of this? You know, the way you're loading the backside of your body, the back leg, and getting ready to fire and producing a lot of force. Like, it's just more of the scientific side of it. And that's kind of where the game was moving towards at that time. So it was 2019 at that time. So we were kind of getting into that zone where we're at firmly now, with, you know, a lot of biomechanical data, a lot of analytics, and just the modern way of teaching hitting. So yeah, it was really exciting.
Yeah, I think even from like the media perspective, now that I've been in baseball for a couple of years and the guys we work with, right, like there's things now where I'm like, man, I understand what's happening there in a way that I never used to when I was playing baseball. And I'm like, man, I could have been a much better baseball player if I really knew some things and actually learned a little bit more from a younger age, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fun. Happens. If I could tweak my swing, you know, in doing these things, funny is because I'd leave practice and I'd go to the driving range and I'd go hit golf balls, like using this like new stuff that I was learning with like how to load my hips and how to rotate and how to launch the swing, like, and it was funny, like my golf swing got better because I was using it at the range and on the course.
Yeah, knowing how to use your body is not the easiest thing to know from a young age if you aren't taught it directly, right? Once you kind of moved up from, you know, from Nova Southeastern, where were the next stops for you leading up to obviously the past couple of years in Bloomsburg? What were some of the stops along the way for you that kind of continued to hone in on those hitting skills and that knowledge?
Yeah, so COVID kind of came in right there. So end of 2019, that was the fall, that fall that I was at Lackawanna, or I was at, sorry, that was my next job, was Lackawanna College, junior college in Pennsylvania. So COVID hit. The 2020 season ended, and then I was looking for jobs. My wife is from Pennsylvania, who I met her at Pitt. So I was looking at jobs up in Pennsylvania, found a really, really good junior college job at Lackawanna for, as a head coach, and the history at Lackawanna, they've got a World Series almost every year. One of the best junior college programs in the Northeast part of the country. So spent a year there. We went to the JUCO World Series there. And then, you know, as you probably know, I mean, college baseball, especially small school college baseball, it's a grind. And so I was kind of hopping around a little bit, trying to get that next opportunity, trying to figure out how I could, you know, pay the bills and make this thing work. And so I ended up going from Lackawanna to Georgia Southwestern State for a year down in South Georgia. That was an unbelievable experience with Coach McDonald and helping turn that program around. It was before I got there, it was, you know, a former NAIA school, hadn't won or hadn't been higher than sixth place in their conference, which is the Peach Belt Conference, in the history of the program since they went D2. So, and then the year that I was there, we finished third in the conference. And then the following year, they won the conference. So helping turn that program around with the people that were involved there and the players that I had, that such a tight group. And so that year was definitely memorable there. And then from there, that's when I got up to Bloomsburg in the fall of 2022 was when I got here. And then, spent the last three years and change. And over the last couple of years, I've been, you know, interviewing with some pro teams. And then finally the White Sox, you know, gave me that opportunity that, you know, I'm super, super pumped for.
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, obviously you spent a couple of years with Bloomsburg, getting yourself even more, you know, fully into that baseball coaching, you know, world, right, and having a couple of years of continuity there. When you started getting interest from the White Sox, right, you don't have to dive into full, you know, everything too much, but like, what was the process like for you kind of joining the White Sox organization? Because we know, you know, there's been a lot of overhaul on the hitting side, obviously, as people that listen to us know, right, with Ryan Fuller coming in, a whole new kind of regime of hitting development within the organization. What was the experience like for you just initially getting to know these guys and then getting a feel for kind of what the organization is doing from a hitting standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, I knew that the people that I was talking to, Ryan Fuller, Sherman Johnson, the new hitting coordinator, were like just top notch people. So I was sending emails out to teams and trying to see what would stick. And luckily I had some friends that used to work in the Orioles organization with Fuller and Sherm. And he kind of reached out to them after I emailed, and it worked out where, you know, we got into some interviews and, you know, getting to know them getting to know me, it just felt right. It just felt like we had a really good connection. We aligned and with a lot of, you know, ideas, philosophically, training ideas, how to develop hitters, and things that we value really seemed to line up. So, you know, I told when Paul Janisch called me and offered me the job, I told him this and I meant it 100%. I don't want to be anywhere else. Like, this is where I feel really, really good about the future of the White Sox and the people that are leading the way and the people that, you know, I'm going to be working with and the people that I'm going to be reporting to. Like, it just felt really, really, you know, really good. So I was really over the moon when Paul called me and offered me the job.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that a huge part of creating organizational consistency and just messages top down is having people that are bought in on the system and having people that want to be part of what is being preached throughout an organization. And I, you know, we've noticed that the past couple of years for those keeping up with the farm system is that there is more continuity across levels, across the types of prospects, different players that are all striving for the same goals, right? When you think about kind of the philosophies of the organization from Janisch and Fuller and all these other guys and Sherm, what are a couple of the things for you personally and even diving into the organization too that you think maybe cross over there that are keys for you when you think about kind of teaching hitting, right? Because I think the organization plate approach has been a huge thing lately. The way you approach at bats, the way you do that, obviously bat speed and increasing the way to add impact to different types of players. What are some of the keys for you and just your philosophical approach to hitting?
Yeah, I'd say those are two of them for sure. You know, the bat speed, training bat speed is such a big thing. You saw the Blue Jays do it, you know, last year, and then the other thing the Blue Jays did really well is they swung at good pitches, and those two things really lined up for me with everything that Fuller was talking about. And I'd say a big one is the way we like to train hitters, which is challenging them. So like, that's such an important thing to me. Is I don't believe in an easy BP. I don't believe in, you know, here's a 40 mile an hour pitch from 25 feet away, you know, over and over again. It's a lot of challenging environments. You know, if you're going to want to hit a 100 mile an hour fastball with 20 inches of IVB, like, you got to train that. So I definitely with the interview process and with, you know, being out in the, at the performance camp in Arizona, you know, that, that stuff really aligns for me. Like the more challenging the environments that these players are practicing in, the more prepared they're going to be for the game. And that's what ultimately matters is, you know, is their performance in the game against a real pitcher. So that really stuck out to me throughout the process is just the importance of challenging training and making things as game-like as possible.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that we've heard over time from Fuller and from other guys that we've talked to in the organization is just the breeding competition and creating energy where you're competing every day. And it's not just going about your business. And, you know, it's not just the pro guys, right? It's the guys from the complex all the way up that are being put in situations that force them to compete on a daily basis. And it's not just, oh, we're going to go out there and we're going to get better at your swing and all these things. It's like, oh, you're going to compete every day. So I think it's cool to hear kind of that shift. Cause I don't think that was necessarily always a thing for a lot of organizations, right? I don't think that was always a thing for just baseball in the grander scheme. Right. But now you're feeling that throughout many organizations, with the White Sox new regime being one of them for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I think like the traditional, you know, thought process is like, oh, confidence is so important and hitting, like you have to believe in yourself. That is 100% important. But I think the traditional way is like, oh, we need to feed this guy almost fake confidence by making everything easy in practice. So he feels good about himself. But, you know, we know now over time, like that's not what improves hitters. You know, you could get a little bit better maybe, you know, over time, but with the White Sox, you know, our goal is to make hitters better faster. So like, what's the fastest way to make hitters better? Put them in environments that are going to challenge them and force movements that are important in the game, that force things, you know, force bat speed adjustments, force bat path adjustments that are going to play in the game.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you started, you know, you went through this whole process. You started with the White Sox in December. You mentioned, you know, you've been at a couple of performance camps in Arizona, getting a taste now of starting in this role and getting to start working with some of these hitters. Anybody that you have been able to start witnessing before I ask you a couple particular names that kind of stood out to you as people you were just like, okay, this is going to be a really fun guy to like work with and see the progression of, even if it's not necessarily anybody at your level, just somebody in the lower levels of the minors in general.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Fowski is going to be unbelievable. I, you know, got to work with him for 9 days, you know, a couple weeks ago, and man, he's going to be a special player. You know, the things that he can do, the way he impacts the baseball, the swing decisions are plus, and then the speed, the athleticism, the defense, like he definitely has the whole package. And I can tell you from just meeting him for a short period, like he wants it. He wants to be great. He's got a great personality, great guy to coach, very coachable. So if I had to pick one out, man, he really stood out at the performance camp.
I love that, man. I grew up with a bunch of guys that went to Nazareth Academy, including the head coach over there, Lee Milano. So I've been hearing about Jaden since he was 14, maybe, from some of the guys over at Naz, and then got to talk to him this past summer. So he's someone that's been on the radar for quite some time, and clearly could be a, you know, a very special talent and has the makeup too. We interviewed him in back in August after the draft, and just the makeup with that guy for someone who just turned 19 is pretty unbelievable, honestly.
No doubt. Yeah, he's super mature. The way he, you know, we were doing some, going through some at bats and in the cage and throwing mixed BP at him, and the way he was taking pitches was way above his, you know, his age, and just the way the ball comes off the bat. If you put those two things together, you have a special player. If he's disciplined at the plate, knows what pitches he's looking for, what pitches to swing at, and then he can do damage, and he's gonna make a lot of contact, man. Like, the ceiling is super high for him.
Yeah, a few other guys I want to, you know, touch on. I'm not sure if you've gotten to see them yet, but, you know, rising prospect in the system, has become a top 50 prospect in baseball. Caleb Bonimer finished the season in Winston. He played most of the season at Single A in Kannapolis, but then got a cup of Winston at the end of the year. Have you seen Bonimer yet? And if not, are you kind of familiar with what he brings to the table? Because, man, his season, you know, he was already someone that White Sox fans were keyed in on. And this past season, I think, made him like a key focal point of this farm system.
I have not seen him in person. You know, have been studying some video, and you know, I've talked to the guys about him, Fuller, Sherm, and other hitting coaches that were with me and at the performance camp. And you know, I'm couldn't be more excited to meet him and see what he can do. And I, from the video I've looked at, like it's super powerful. It's really quick and explosive. I know he has elite bat speed. I know he has elite contact quality. So like, again, similar to Fauci, like if you put those two things together, you have a precise barrel where you're making hard contact on a line, and then you put that with elite bat speed. Like, yeah, I'm really pumped to work with him.
Yeah, it's crazy twitchy too. Like, it's such a simplistic swing, and it almost seems like it's so quick to the ball, and there's not a lot there. Like, it's a very simple like setup for Bonnemer, but he just is able to get into that pull side power so easily and just drive the ball like crazy.
It's I like. In the hitting world, there's a saying like slow and early, where you want to kind of start your load early and kind of gather and be really slow and in control. But he's not one of those. There's a lot of individuality and movement and hitting. And if you try to take a guy like him and cookie cut him into, hey, we want to make you slower and start earlier and kind of like build your load up, that probably wouldn't work for him. He's like you said, he's really twitchy, really fast mover. So like with him getting loaded a little bit later and making a quicker move into the backside and then bursting on that ball, like, yeah, I can see that just off of video.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's going to be fun to see where, obviously, he rises up the ranks. He's become a guy that's nationally a lot more regarded. I think we were super excited about the draft pick. I mean, the Sox paid him. You know, he was got a bonus that was indicative of a first-round talent in the second round, in 2024. So it was always clear he was somebody that they really liked. But then this past season, I think he's really shown the entire baseball world that he's a high-end prospect in that regard. A couple other names mentioned. You mentioned Fauci, his counterpart in terms of those top high school draft picks. Billy Carlson, is that a guy that was out there at some of the cams? And if not, have you kind of started to think about what you can do with that guy? Because he's got a really fun, unique template there.
Yeah, Billy was out in Arizona with me, so got some time with him. And man, like another really good personality. I mean, uber athletic. Like seeing the way he moves, it's like – all right, like that's why he was a top 10 overall pick. Like the way his body moves, rotates, delivers the barrel. I mean, the way he creates force in his frame. Like he's not a massive guy, but he'll surprise you with his size too. Like he's at least 6'1", 6'2", wiry, strong, and just an awesome quality mover. Bat speed is really good. If he can get the ball, on a line a lot, which I think he will do, and we know what he can do with the glove. I mean, he's so special with the glove. Watching him take ground balls out there, like, was just an absolute treat. I know he's like rated one of the top defenders in all of minor league baseball, and I can see why. That glove is super, super special, and the bat is definitely a super high ceiling. Like he has a lot in the tank that, he's definitely, he's young and he's got a lot coming for him. I'm really excited to work with him.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys coming up the tank that have a lot of those fun high school picks lately that are just so tantalizing. Last, singular name I'll mention to you here. George Walkout is a guy that White Sox fans, being an Illinois guy, being a Chicago guy, right? He's got a lot of buzz around him coming out of the draft 2 years ago. He came into the organization at 17 years old. He's still just turned 20. That's a guy who, it's freakish power. I don't think there's any other way to say it other than like 80 grade raw power. Obviously a big dude who's had to work through a lot of just continual growth and adjustments with his swing the past 2 years. What is it like working, when you take a guy like that who has so much power, but it's he's a huge dude. He's got long arms, big movements. How do you kind of balance out like wanting to maximize his power, but also understanding that's a guy that you have to continue to work with on the swing to get as much contact out of him as you can?
Yeah, George was out there in Arizona also, so got to meet him. I mean, also another electric personality. Like these guys are going to be fun to root for. Like as a White Sox fan, I can tell you that. A lot of energy, but man, like you said, it's booming power, and that's super exciting. I've seen from what I heard, he definitely in the past has needed to work on his contact and his swing decisions, and man, it looks like he is on a very good path for this year to make those jumps. From what I saw at performance camp, man, like, he was taking pitches on the black, he was really focused on the right things. Like, we were talking to him about those things that he needs to work on, and he is all in, bought into those things. And to answer your question on, like, how do you kind of balance the power and the contact, like, he's the type of guy that he just needs to touch it. Like, you know, if he touches it, it's going. So I think he's starting to understand that and starting to control his movements, tighten up his swing, you know, make everything a little bit shorter and more compact. So hey, like, touch it, get in the air, and it's going to go. So he's working on those swing decisions, working on his ability to just touch it, and it's really, really exciting to see what he's going to do. You know, it looks like he's going to really, you know, be a big piece for the future.
Yeah, I think he's someone we've always been super excited about, and it takes time. You can't rush those types of developments, right? I think he's such a unique profile, and everybody takes time to develop, of course, but especially when you've just got such a drastic, you know, huge dude, so young, very early in his career, like, you got to be patient with those types of players. But I think that everybody, you know, that watches him closely can tell from makeup and from talent the type of player that he can be as he continues to grow here.
No doubt. Super excited.
Yeah, I won't get into too many more players with you. Obviously, you got to get in the lab with these guys. You've only been with the organization for 2 months now. But anything for yourself as you kind of just gear up for the season, your first full professional season? I'm sure, obviously, you're excited, but is there any kind of goals you have for just for yourself or for the team in Winston heading into this season?
Yeah, I mean, for the team, like, you know, the goal is to win the, you know, South Atlantic League. You know, that's what you get out for. You want these guys to start to learn how to win in the big leagues. They got to win in the minor leagues, you know, so it translates. So we want guys that are not just going to focus just on individual development, which is obviously a huge, huge part of it. But, like, we want guys to be bought into the winning piece of it also. So excited to, you know, that's definitely a goal of mine. And then individually just help these guys move up. Like, I want to, of course, you know, have these guys for the whole year, but my goal is to have them walk out the door and go to Double A. So that's what my goal is, to have as many guys, you know, in and out the door, because they're performing, they're producing at the level, and they're crushing it. So hey, let's send them up to Birmingham. So, like, that's what I want, is to just help these guys, you know, pursue their dreams and get to the big leagues.
Yeah, love to hear it. I think that's the goal. Everybody's it's been real fun the last couple of years with Birmingham winning back-to-back championships, and ready to send some of those championships down to the South Atlantic League, to the International League in Charlotte. I think the organization is really pumped, and White Sox fans are excited to see all the talent that's flowing through the minor league system right now. So we look forward to seeing everything you got going on this year. We'll definitely have to check in again this season as you get going into the year, and just see kind of how things are going in Winston towards the middle of the year. But we really appreciate you taking the time, and welcome to the White Sox organization, man.
Thanks so much, Elijah. It was great to be on, and yeah, we'll definitely have to talk soon.